Blog Talk Radio.
Recording artist Lamar Campbell. So I'd like for you to just
hold tight on to your seats till I put your record on spin. And after the full selection is done, then I'll come back. So you just hold tight and let me put your record on for your enjoyment. Praise God. I hope you enjoyed that selection by recording artist Lamar Campbell. And we definitely know that God can work it out. You don't have a problem that's too difficult for God to work out. I mean, it's no job too small or no job too large for our God, our Father and Savior, to work out. He is the problem solver. All right, with any further ado, we will bring you a B selection by recording artist Ricky Dillon. So we ask you again to listen up, and I'll be back after the completion of this recording. May God bless you. All right, excuse me, I'm having some audio difficulties. I will be back with you momentarily. I'm hoping and praying that you enjoyed that B selection by recording artist Ricky Dillard. And I tell you, we definitely need the Lord to take us back where we first found and sought his face. I tell you, I just thank God for being able to come before your presence tonight on Blog Talk Radio to deliver to you what God has given unto me. And you're welcome. My call-in guest is welcome to call in. I have placed a toll-free call. As you have to cost you anything to call in. And that number is 1-877-598-8654. That number again is 877-598-8654. And you can dial through your Skype call up system. All right, we're going to go into our theme tonight, and our theme is walking in your calling. Now, I have outlined part one and two, so it will be a part two coming within this time next week. But for now, we'll be talking in part one of walking in your calling. And we know that when we told God, you know, God, I want you to use me, any way you use me, I will be satisfied. And we know that God has given all of us that wanted a job, and we have titles, some apostle, God has given, some apostles, some elders, some prophets, some evangelists, some deacons, some missionaries, some bishops, some teachers, some pastors, and so on. And so, you know, God has charged us to a position, and this position is to carry out his assignment. And we are to be walking in God's calling. But I think some of us have slightly gotten distracted and off course. So we should not go outside of our zone. We are to stay in our lane, meaning stay in your priesthood, the position that you have, that God has allowed you to take the position over. That's what we are to do, is to walk in our calling. You know, because sometimes I find out that, you know, some of us in our godly walk and in the position that God has given to us, we have been sidetracked. I find some of us trying to be marriage counselors. Some are trying to be sex therapists. Some of us are trying to be a matchmaker. And our job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not, or shouldn't try to be, Dr. Ruth, but rather a doctor in the word of truth. And I just want to share with you tonight my thoughts on this subject as walking in your calling. Because some of us is not walking in our calling. Some of us is, matter of fact, has not even been sent. Some of us just got up and went. And God do not want us to be unequally yoked. God wants us to be walking in the newness and the trueness of his grace and his mercy. And we want to go to the scripture reading. It will be Hebrews. We'll go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we will start at the 19th verse. And it says, you can read along with me. And the word of God says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. All right, this is the final verse. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. That was the 23rd verse, and that was the ending of our scripture reading. So God wants us to take hold of the position which he has charged to us, and preach the word of God, because in a time that we are living in, we don't have time to be playing doctor, therapist, the psychologist, the psychiatrist. Our job is to bring the world the good news of Jesus. For God is the same 2,000 years ago that he is today. Nothing about God has changed. I tell you, God's word has got to go through every crack and every crevice of this universe before God come back to crack that cloud to come after us. We don't want God to catch us with our work undone. We know that, you know, each one of us has a call. Like I said, you may be an apostle. You might be an elder. You might be a teacher. You might be a missionary. But whatever your position is, then, hey, let God use you in that position. Don't try to straddle a fence. If you're a pastor, don't try to be an apostle. And if you're an apostle, don't try to be a bishop. If you're a missionary, don't try to be a teacher. Stay in the position that God has assigned you to. That's a lot of the problem with us saints today is that we're going outside of our boundary. We're outside of the goal line. We're supposed to stay in our calling. One person wrote a book said, stay in your lane. So we got to stay in our lane and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to this dying world because we know that Jesus is soon to come. And so we want to be working while it is day. Because we know when night comes, hey, we can't see how to work at night. We cannot work at night, so we have to work while it's day. And so, you know, I want to just share a little parable with you. And we know that the Roman gladiator, he fought using only a net and a trident. But of all the fearsome lethal weapons that was available to those warriors, they was often battled to death. So they was beaten. They was beaten to death, and they would fight to the finish. So then they had one of those three-pronged spears, and when they entered into the arena, the survival depended on how well they used their weapons. Now, in our spiritual battle, we face as Christians, God has given us our weapon. Though we walk in the flesh, but we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down the strongholds. And so we know that, I think that's 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, it said it's worth pausing to look at ourselves in a mirror, okay? And Ephesians 6:10-18, to see if we are properly equipped with the whole armor of God. We need to be armored from our helmet of salvation all the way to the shoes of the gospel of peace. And we ought to be protected and armed because we might have any kind of conflict that might arise. It depends not on human strength, but of the power of God. And so we know that if God said, if God is for us, then he's more than the world against us. All we need to do is just depend on God. Everything that we do, we should always reverence God. If it's God's will that I do this, is God will that I see you tomorrow. You know, because if it's not God's will, then that will not happen. So we always supposed to include God in every situation and everything that we do concerning our lives. Whatever it is, we must include God. We must not leave him out. I mean, on down to the wire, we should consult God and say, and if we're not sure on which way to go, which way to handle a certain situation or certain obstacles that might arrive in our life, we ought to go and consult God and ask God for guidance. God, guide me on how to do this. Guide me on what to say, you know, in a certain incident. We should always include God, not get so, you know, bold that we can do everything on our own because we can do nothing without God. Everything we do depends on God. We can't even breathe unless God allows. We can't even use our eyes unless God allows. We can't even use our feet unless God allows. We cannot even use our hands unless God allows. We cannot turn to the right, to the left, unless God allows. So everything that we do depends on God's allowance. God is the proprietor. He is the CEO of our lives. God owns everything concerning us, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, belong to God. We didn't bring, as I first stated, we didn't bring anything in this world. And as surely as I am speaking to you, December the 11th, 2012, we are not carrying anything out. But our job is to preach the word of God. I am not a therapist. I am not a psychiatrist. I am not a doctor. I do not hold a PhD behind my name. I am a pastor, and my job is to preach the word of God as God's word tells me, to preach the undisputed word of God. And I am not supposed to be trying to match and make up anyone, because one thing is for sure, is whomever God put together, let no man tear it apart. So when God put a couple together, if they are bonded and if they are in God, both in unity and in holiness, that marriage is going to last throughout eternity. Because I know that a family that prays together stays together. And a undivided house, a house that built on sand, cannot stand. But if it's built on a sure foundation, that it can withstand the wind and the waves to come up against it, and it will stand. It shall not fall. Why? You said, Pastor Ward, because it's standing on a sure foundation. So I would like to come to let you know on tonight that your position, you are to stand in your position, telling the world about your Father, that man named King Jesus, that man that is from Nazareth. Do you hear me? That man that went out on Calvary cross, that died for the sin of the world, for mine and yours. That is our most precious, sacred position, that we should take it in all honor, and we should take it in the atmosphere of God. We should be shaken in our shoes when we go to render our work to God. We're supposed to respect God, respect the position that God has put us in. Some of us, I think, is scared to tell people that, you know, it's a holiness lifestyle or it's a sinner lifestyle. I think there are some that is scared to say that it's holiness, it's righteousness, or it's sin. But I have you to know that if you hold back on any of God's word, then God is going to charge you accordingly. Because we are to carry out our position in a way that's pleasing and acceptable unto God. Everything we do, we can witness, and we can witness to souls that don't know God. That is one of our jobs that we are to do, and we will be held responsible for witnessing to the lost. Our job is to witness to the lost souls and to compel men and women to come to Christ. We can't just stay in the church, every church service, you know, that the doors open. We can't be caught outside of the church doors, but we are to go out in the highway and the byway and to search out and to seek out those which are lost. That's our duty. And then we are to witness to them about Jesus. Let them know that Jesus loved them and that Jesus died on the cross for them and that Jesus don't want their soul lost. He don't want no one lost, but he wants them to know that there's a God, that there's a Jesus that loves them and that he wants them to give their life to him. Now, you won't get, you know, everybody is not going to be willing to listen to what you have to say when you're talking about religion. A lot of people nowadays, I mean, when you go to the shopping centers and you go to the workplace and you go to the malls and you just, you know, you're going to various places as in your travel, you can say, how you doing? And you can speak to another person and you can say, how you doing? And they'll say, fine. And then sometimes, you know, because the Jesus of you, you're not hiding Jesus. But you would say, you know, you have a good day. And they'll say, you have a good day. And sometimes you might say, you have a good day and God bless you. And that person won't say a word. They have acted as though you have literally used a profane word against them. It's like you have literally cursed them when you say, God bless you. But see, it's habit forming. Because, you know, anytime you're living for God, it is a habit forming lifestyle. Because the old things that you used to do, you don't do those no more. You don't even have a desire to do the things that you used to do when you was in the world. God has created in you a clean heart, a clean mindset. You know, even the friends that you hang around, you know, if they're not willing to, you know, give up the world, then you'll have to just, you know, say, well, I'm sorry, you know, I'm not living in that old lifestyle anymore. I'm in a new lifestyle. I'm in a Christian lifestyle now. And so you might have to part with that friend because y'all don't really have anything in common anymore. When you was in the world, you had things in common because you went clubbing together, you know. Maybe you went to the honky-tonks. Maybe you went to the honky-tonks together. And so therefore, you know, maybe you went to the movies together, you know, and whatever you did, you know, maybe you went to the shooting range together. Maybe you went bowling together, you know. Whatever you did in the world, you had things in common. But now that you have changed over, you have a spiritual changeover, then the things that you used to do, you don't do those things no more. So if you used to go to the bar, you know, and have you a couple of drinks and, you know, chit-chat with the guys and the girls, you know, then you don't have a desire to do those things anymore. And if you find yourself a bachelor, then you seek God to find you a helpmate. God is the best spiritual man, the best candidate ever that can hook a sister or a brother up. I mean, when God hook you up, there is no divorce. There is no separation when God hook you up. Now, if you hook up yourself, you know, because when we were in the world, we, you know, we designated, we chose the guy that we wanted or the girl that the men's wanted, they would choose the woman that they had an eye for, you know. So we might not always choose the correct mate, you know. We just chose them because maybe they was handsome and debonair. Maybe she was cute and, you know, had that, what they call a coke ball figure, you know, so to speak. But whatever it was that attracted you, it was the humanly flesh that attracted you, because you didn't know God at that time. So that was the humanly flesh that attracted you and her together, you know. But when you get in Christ, then Christ chooses the mate that's best for you, and that y'all can stay together, you know, and that y'all can come together as one, and you can, you know, have babies and, you know, populate the world, because that's what God put us here for, you know, is to expand the world, to have babies, you know, to give birth. That was our plan, God planned for us. And so when God puts a mate together, they are together. And you know, just like your vows, you stand with your hand on the Bible and you pledge, you know, that you would stay in that marriage for better, for worse. If they, you know, if your mate, you know, went off on the deep end, then your vow was to stay in the marriage. If they was poor, or if they was wealthy and then they became poor, well, your pledge was to stay in there for richer, for poor. Your pledge said for better or worse. You see? So there is no leaving other than death now, you know, because we have no saying over our mate lifespan. But I'm just saying, if you happen to lose a mate, like I did, I'm a widow. I lost my husband. And so right now, you know, right now I am a single woman. And I can go and marry if I chose to do so. But God will have to designate the husband that he want me to have. I just can't go out there and pick a husband like we're picking apples or oranges or grapes, you know, picking bananas. I have to wait on God. And when I, you know, when the time is right, you know, then God will, I believe God will let me know. I mean, you know, I know sometimes I think that I'm ready, you know, sometimes I do. And then there's other times that I'm not quite sure, you know. I'm saying, well, Lord, you know, just let your will be done. And so, you know, but I believe that God knows when the right time for me to have a husband, if I so desire. And I do desire to remarry, you know. I think that any widow, whether you're a widower or a widow, I think that you would want to remarry. But the thing of it is we just can't go out and get somebody that's in a Jew joint, somebody that's in a club, you know, some woman out there prostituting. You know, we can't go out there and just pick up anybody. We have to wait on God to give us the spouse that he would want us to have. And when we do that, then we don't have to worry about going to counseling, you know, because our marriage is on the binge of disaster, or on the binge of breaking up. Because when God puts you together, there's no breaking up, you know, and you always can talk over, you know, the things that you have difficulty with, you know, and things that you might not see eye to eye on. Then you can, you know, pray about it. Pray together, you know. Pray together, and you can always say, well, honey, we don't know the answer, because we don't always know the answer to a lot of things. We don't. And that's the reason why I said we should always consult God, you know, and God will direct our paths. And so when you, you know, when you have some, you know, some difficulties, because you can agree to disagree, and when you, you know, having some disagreement, then instead of, you know, feuding and, you know, and fussing and going on, then you say, well, baby, you know, we're not going to feud, we're not going to fight, but what we're going to do, we're going to take it to God, and y'all can go in prayer and pray together, and God will give you the answer, what you're looking for. God will give you, you know, what you need, and because God is the problem solver. And so when we are in our position as a minister of the gospel, our job is to carry out the word of God. And we ought to keep on preaching the word of God until Jesus comes. We can't stop preaching, you know, say, well, you know, I think I done preached, you know, 10 years. I think that's enough. You know, I mean, unless you become disabled where you can't, you know, mobily, you know, get around, you can physically get around, then you know that is the time that you can step down, you know. But I'm saying as long as you are physically fit to preach the word of God, then God charges us. That is our charge, is to preach the gospel of Jesus until Jesus raptures us up out of here. Because one thing about it is when we preach the word of God, then we are doing what God has commanded us to do. And we got to stay in our position. We can't be straddling the fence over here and over there. You know, I have a lot of people that sometimes invite me to different games and stuff, you know, that's out there. But I chose not to play, you know, any of the games. I tried a couple of them and couldn't, you know, really figure it out. But my main focus and my purpose is to bring a word to the thirsty soul, the soul that have no sense of direction, the person that don't know that it's someone that loves them, someone that don't know that when all their money is allocated, that God will be that friend that will enable you to obtain money to pay a bill that you normally wouldn't have had otherwise. See, that's my job, is to go out and let these people know that, get self out the way. When self get out of the way and we put God in the way, then our life will go a whole lot smoother. But that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to get self out the way and put God in the way and keep God in the way of our daily lives. And we can really be fruitful that way. When we do that, we can be fruitful servants of God, because that's what we are. We are a servant. A prophet, apostle, an elder, a deacon, a missionary, a bishop, a teacher, a pastor, those are all titles. But we know that we are just a servant of God. We is his messenger. So whatever God tells us to do, that is what we should be finding ourselves doing. We should be following God's direction. We should be following God's instructions. And you know, I thought about just now about the word Bible. And I know, as many of us know what the definition of B-I-B-L-E. And if I make no mistake, I believe it's biblical instructions before leaving earth. Biblical instructions before leaving earth. Now see, that boy, I tell you, God is so awesome, because he leave us instructions. He don't just leave us bare-handed. He leave us with biblical instructions how to carry out his word. You know? That's just like when you go to school, when you go to college. You know, you get your books, you get your binders, you know, you have to, if you go to university, they have a bookstore there. So you can buy your binders and your books that you need for college, you can buy them there. But when you was in school, they provided you books. And, you know, they gave us a whole stack of books. Well, you know, when we first started, come off of our summer vacation, they just, you know, give us look like a truckload of books. We had a book for every class. And if you had six or seven classes, you had those many books. But you had a book for English. You had a book for math. You had a book for spelling. You had a book for every class, and that outlined how you would do your work. You say, well, I have a spelling assignment. Get your spelling book out. I have a math assignment. Get your math book out. So we have a godly assignment. So our book is the good news of Jesus Christ. The B-I-B-L-E is our book. That's our book that we use every day when we're talking about the Word of God and we are distributing His Word amongst the people. This is our book. Jesus called it the Good News. So this book we have is the Good News. We are to tell the Good News of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, you can see how God will bless us. You know, we won't be in all of these, you know, situations to where we feel down, you know, and kind of low-key feel like nobody cares, nobody loves you, you feel thrown away, you know. But when you are talking about Jesus and his love for mankind, you know, that's enough to just elate anybody's heart when you go to talking about Jesus. Because Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus is everything we need. We don't need anything else because he has paved the way for us. He has paved the way. And so I just thank you on tonight for joining me on Blog Talk Radio. And you have been tuned into your old ship of Zion. Your host has been Pastor Janice Ward of God House Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry of Gilroy, California, and co-pastor Shirlene Cooks of Livermore, California, with No Bounds Ministry. So we know that as long as we have a God House of Deliverance, there will never be no bounds in serving God. And I just thank you for your patronage and for tuning in. And I hope and pray that you will be brave enough to call in. I won't bite, but just call in, you know, just say if I've said anything that have inspired you, that have touched your heart, that have compelled you to be a better person, then I would have done something that would have been pleasing unto God. Because my job is to tell the goodness of Jesus and to preach his word to a dying world that don't know him and the pardon of their sin. And this is also how we will be judged according to our works. I want to go out. I told God I want to go out in the highway and the byway, you know, and I want to be a worker in his vineyard. And you know, God allowed me that opportunity, and I am so glad. And I tell you, I won't let him down. I will tell the goodness of Jesus as long as I live, because there's no greater lifestyle than to live a Christianity or sanctification lifestyle before men's and women's every day that we live. God said that his yoke is easy and his burdens is light. So we know that it's nothing that's hard about God. It's nothing difficult about serving God. You just have to be willing, have a willing mind to give up the world and come on and serve God. I'll tell you, there is just no greater lifestyle on planet Earth here below and in that spiritual heavens up in glory land. There is just no greater lifestyle. I wonder sometimes why it took me so long. Only God knows for sure. But I'm so glad that he just, you know, kept my life, kept me from death, hell, and the grave, and he showed me grace and mercy by stretching forth his hand and said, come, my child. You know, I thank God for his, oh, hallelujah, for his blood that covers me. I thank him for my sanctification that I'm infilled with the Holy Ghost deep down within. I don't have a desire to go out in the world. I don't have a desire to participate in what the world is doing. But I love in God's word. So I just want you to tune in next Tuesday. We'll be coming back with part two of Walking in Your Calling. Until then, I want you to be blessed. I want you to just, you know, pick up God's word and read it. And, you know, just keep reading it till you get an understanding. And if you don't get understanding, tell God to open up your heart so you can take in God's word. Until we meet again, you go with God as God go with you. And I hope and pray that you have enjoyed this program on tonight. And like I said, you have tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, Old Ship of Zion, your host, Pastor Janice Ward. Until then, we'll see you next week. Bye for now.